You are listening to Sheep Might Fly, a podcast of serialized fiction written and read by Tansy Rainabovitz. This is the penultimate episode of Kissing Basilisks, a Belladonna U serial, which will be packaged as part of the Holiday Brew collection later this year, not very much later this year, only a couple of months before the book will be released. Patreon subscribers, if you pledge at $15 this month, which is July 2020, you'll receive an early paperback of Holiday Brew. Also this month, I just released a digital box set of my Creature Court trilogy. The box set itself is exclusively available on Kindle, but you can buy the Creature Court books as individual titles on all platforms. In 2 weeks, there's going to be a new serial starting here on the podcast, The Frost Fair Affair, sequel to Tea and Sympathetic Magic. If you haven't listened to Tea and Sympathetic Magic yet, it's here on this podcast feed. You can go back and listen to it for free. Kissing Basilisks, Chapter 20. Hebe. There are unhappy houses, and then there's this. I had all of it for a few moments there. Every broken plate or fingerprint on the banisters, every memory of the families who lived here stuffed into my head like an overambitious mattress. I saw a sulky third and his sulkier older sister being moved into this place by their elegant, impossibly beautiful parents, bringing generations of sinister warlock magic into a house already aching with sinister warlock magic. I saw generations of the Tulalip family, brilliant, brutal, tragic. I mourned their losses and witnessed their miracles. I breathed in the smell of the wood frame and first nails, of the mortar and cement that formed the foundations of this beautiful, terrible, miserable house. I even held the memories of the vacant lot, all parched grass and chalk marks, as the developers walked up and down in their stiff wool suits and top hats, too hot for Australian weather, making decisions about who would own what. This house had a history, and for a moment there I held it all in my head. Then the house took it back, all of it, dragging the darkness and the sparks and the memories out of my flesh. It didn't care how much damage it did along the way. I'm lucky to still be conscious. Mine. I think maybe it thought my house magic could heal it, and when it became obvious that wasn't going to happen, well, it dragged the stolen magic back out of my head and left me for dead. Here, inside a house that's either dying or about to explode shadow magic all over the city. There are shadows everywhere. I tried leaving, but the house doesn't want to let me go. Right now, I'm hiding in the storage space under the stairs, which is 12 kinds of stupid, because it's not like you can hide from a house while inside that specific house. It's letting me believe I can hide, and that's somehow worse. The instability of it all is shaking me apart from my teeth to my fingernails. This isn't going to last. The house is drunk on its own magic, but once something is broken, you can't just snap your fingers and make it better. The cracks will always show. The tension points remain, waiting to snap when you finally get comfortable again. I'm pretty sure no one will ever be able to safely live in this house. I'm pretty sure I'm not getting out of this house alive. And yes, this is all probably a metaphor for something. I'm sure Holly will write an amazeballs song about this someday. Hope I live to complain about it. I can feel him coming, walking through the house. The calm presence of a person-shaped lack of magic feels like a headache charm that finally kicked in on the third try. He's coming to rescue me. Third. It's embarrassing how glad I am about that. But then the door swings open and I can see his wide shoulders there, framed by fierce purple flame and dazzling deep shadows. It's not Ferd after all. Viola. Surely Viola had better things to do than prevent Chauvelin from running again into the house, trying to be a hero. She left Sage and Jules standing sentinel over him and went to the side of Professor Fordyce, the only one around here who knew what he was doing. Chauve's family home vibrated with magic and fury. Viola saw a glimpse of dark flames in the upper windows, sparking wildly. The outer shell of the house shuddered, and layers of white paint flaked off every surface. It stank of shadows and misery and sulphur. "It smells wrong," Viola said in a low voice so only the professor could hear her. "Sour." "It's a dead house walking," Fordyce said in a measured tone. "No saving it. The only question is how to mitigate the damage. How's your Demthorm Fen?" "Ugh. Demonstrative thaumaturgical phenomena. If they were all still undergrads, maybe they could claim extra credit for this horrendous New Year's disaster." "Sage," Viola called out. "Prof Fordyce needs your big strong muscles." Sage hurried over, standing on Fordyce's other side. "Got a piano needs shifting?" "We need to set up a protective perimeter for when the house goes critical," said the professor. "Got anyone fluent in runes?" "Not if the house goes critical," Viola noted. "When?" "Holly and May are good at runes," said Sage, flexing his hands. "Is this perimeter of yours going to prevent Deck and Hebe from getting the hell out of there?" The professor hesitated, only for a moment. "There's some prep work to be done first," he said. "We can throw it up the second they're clear." Sage growled under his breath. "And if they don't get clear on their own?" "Hope that they do." "That's not a solution, Prof." "I know. But sending more students in there right now is the worst idea in a day full of truly terrible ideas." "May, Holly," Viola called. "The professor needs some rune work." "What about me?" she added. "How can I help?" "Keep that lot away from us," said Fordyce with a wave of his hand. "We have work to do." Viola turned and felt a wave of sickening dread as she saw the cars drawing up near them, one after the other. The Basilisk Board had arrived. Hebe. "So this has to be the stupidest thing you've ever done," I say conversationally. 3 seconds after Dex strode into the house like a big damned hero to save the day with his entire lack of magic, the house decided we weren't funny anymore. The flames got hotter, the shadows wrapped around us like a thick fog, and an invisible force shoved us back into this tiny triangular storage space and shut the door. The house saw Deck as not a threat, right up to the point that he tried to rescue me. So here we are, trapped together. "I don't suppose you bought a dice and some paper," I murmur, leaning back against his shoulder as he puts his arm around me. "Could get boring." "I mean," he says, casual as anything, "even impending death from a vengeful magical house doesn't faze Deck." "I brought my phone." "Huh." Juniper. "I feel it vital to inform all future readers of my diary that at this point, in the chaos of magical house meltdown, parents and board members arriving, unlicensed magical practice going on, and, oh, the first police car, I was still wearing my nightgown, which honestly made it feel more like a surreal dream than otherwise. The professor had given Holly something to do, which was a relief, because she was about 2 minutes away from a meltdown to rival that of the Chauvelin house. Viola was trying to hold off the grown-ups. My phone rang. I answered it, half in shock. "Deck?" "Juniper," said Hebe. "Warm, familiar, alive. Get me Sage. I have a plan." "Sage!" It came out of me in a scream, which was for the best. I might otherwise have spent 10 minutes trying to cough politely at him. Sage came to me instantly, ignoring the professor. I held the phone out to him, shaking. "It's Hebe." He leaned into the phone I held up, but didn't touch it himself. Even so, it sparked against his magic, practically fizzing. Babe, he said once, and then listened. Got it. Love you. Nightshade, veil, he yelled, already running towards the house. No, not quite towards the house. Towards a sandy path along one side of the house. With me. Gonna blow some shit up. Viola and Jules ran after him without hesitation. That left the basilisk board between us and the police car, which seemed like a great deal of misinformation waiting to happen. Another car rolled into the avenue, this one with the green stripe along the side, which meant paranormal squad. My phone had gone dead. I made quickly for Third, who looked shaken and miserable, standing on his own. I can't help, he said as I approached. I can't do anything. Someone needs to tell the paranormals what your parents did to you, I said in a low voice, and make sure they don't shut down Professor Fordyce while he's trying to protect everyone. His eyes widened. Juniper, I can't. It's okay. I tucked my arm into his. I'd stand between him and the police if I had to. In my nightgown. We'll do it together. Hebe. I'm glad I'm here with Deck. Calm is what's needed. Calm, steady, reliable. He's a good bloke. Solid person to have at your back while you wait for your ex and your friends to blast an escape tunnel through a house that's trying to eat you alive. We used to hook up for a while last year. The year before last, I suppose, since it's New Year's Day. I never thought I was the sort of person who could be casual about anything, but it was a refreshing window of good sex and friendship that never really went in a particular direction. Somehow Deck became one of the people I trust most in the world, after Sage and Holly and May. I thought Ferd was that too. Someone I could trust with my entire self. Maybe he still is. Maybe I was horribly unfair. He's been messed around so badly by his parents. I don't know what the hell was happening to him on the day of the summer solstice, but it was clearly more important and damaging than the graduation ceremony he missed, the parties he skipped out on, all those unanswered text messages I sent while trying not to sound like a clingy girlfriend. It's hard not to sympathise with him now I know exactly what he grew up with. I want to go home. Not just to the house. I spent a week and a half around the mums recently, making jam in the mountains and doing nothing, and I couldn't live there forever, but it was so nice to have a break, to breathe, to be a witch instead of student, three jobs, girlfriend, unpaid band manager, sister. The flames are getting hotter. Like this is a house fire situation and not a shadow magic about to explode and take out the city block situation. Both of those would be bad. I hope I can hear Sage when he blows a way out for us. The plan will only work if I can. Are you and Viola really over? I ask, for the sake of talking about something other than our current doom. I reckon, says Deck, his hand warm on mine. Too much drama. She needs someone who'll fight with her, and that's not a good look on me. Makes sense. I can smell smoke choking my throat, but it's not the kind of smoke that comes from a fire. My head hurts. If I wasn't leaning against Deck, I think I'd have hit the ground already. His hand is steady on mine. Reliable. I don't want to be a student anymore, I blurt out. Yeah, but you had that whole thing you signed up for. Magical Archivist Diploma. It's a good course, really hard to get into. I'd probably get a job in any library in the country with one of those from Belladonna U. So why don't you... The Department of the Real. All those magic snobs. Hidden buildings and basilisk kings and, oh, those horrible people. The board, all arrayed against us while we were lying around in a library we weren't supposed to know about, bloodstained and miserable. I think I'm done, I confess. We graduated. What's the point of sticking around? My first day at Belladonna University, I knew I wanted to stay there forever. Ready for real life then? Says Deck. A question, not a statement. Somewhere I hear a shout and something shaking the house. A boom so intense I can feel it on the back of my eyelids. I guess that's the signal. I take a deep breath, which tastes of 100 different kinds of magic, burning all at once. It makes my head swim, but I'm on my feet, hand on the latch of the door. Ready or not. Thanks for listening to Sheep Might Fly. You can sign up to my author newsletter for updates. Follow me on Twitter at TansyRR or at Sheep Might Fly. Find me on Facebook at TansyRR Books. And if you like this podcast, consider supporting me at Patreon, where you can receive all kinds of cool rewards, early ebooks, and exclusive stories for a small monthly pledge. See you next week.